What's going on, everybody? This is Sean Brown, and you're listening to Top 10 Wrestling. Now, guys, today I have a lot of news to drop for you guys. Unfortunately, I did an update. I did an update for Elimination Chamber, and actually, I got attached to the top five, but it's the bottom five of the biggest betrayals in wrestling history list that I did. So I will edit that for you guys. I will fix that problem, and I will be dropping the top five later on this month. I will also be dropping AEW versus NXT later on today. My thoughts so far on what we've seen the last couple months, leading into the Revolution pay-per-view, and also the aftermath from the Vengeance, the NXT Vengeance pay-per-view. Now, first thing I'm going to talk about today is the News Observer unfair opinions on the WWE product. For a while now, and of course, it kind of seems like the News Observer is hand-in-hand with New Japan Pro Wrestling and AEW. So it's almost like an unfair advantage. It's almost as if they automatically choose... They're like anti-WWE almost. You know what I mean? And that's their choice. But I think that they had an award section that they released, and it left a lot of wrestling fans in general pissed off, and it left a lot of WWE wrestling fans upset. They ranked SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken, like the fifth best wrestling show on TV. I believe they also ranked Raw as the third best wrestling show or last best wrestling show. I had to go back and look at the rankings again. I thought they were just ridiculous. The Fiend is the most overrated and the worst gimmick, which, come on. You know what I'm saying? That is just complete asinine nonsense. It's just like, what are you guys talking about, you know? I personally think that Fiend is amazing. Don't get me wrong. There's been some wrinkles in there. Him losing to Goldberg. People hate the Swamp match, which they ranked as the worst match. So they completely buried the Fiend. They don't like Alexa Bliss Fiend character either, the female Fiend character or whatever, which I think is amazing. Everybody else that I've talked to think it's amazing. But the Swamp match was... Yeah, I could admit that probably was one of the worst wrestling matches. But you know, to bury his overall character, now it's like, man, okay, is there a personal vendetta against the WWE? That's what I'm wondering. Are they working hand in hand with AEW and New Japan, or are they working hand in hand with just for AEW? And it just happened to be fans of New Japan. We do know that there is some kind of deal between all three promotions, where you have Impact Wrestling that now receiving talent from New Japan Pro Wrestling and AEW. Of course, the Sammy Guevara situation, where he pissed Impact Wrestling off by not going there, and he pretty much blew his spot to become a major star over there, and to take advantage of that and translate that over to AEW at some point. So with all everything that's transpired with all that, we do know that there's something in the works, right? So it just makes me wonder, okay, so what about the News Observer is going on? What is the relationship? Maybe we'll find out more news on that in the coming days and weeks. And as soon as I find out something, even if I have to do a 15-minute, 10-15-minute exclusive for you guys, I will drop the podcast as soon as I find something out. But that's just a question I'm asking because I just think it's just crazy to just try to bury the Fiend like that. And I just think he's one of the best things that's happened, in the last 5 to 10 years, alongside with the Tribal Chief, alongside with heel Kenny Omega returning, Jon Moxley entering AEW. There's certain things that you can kind of say, hey, these things were amazing. Seth Rollins had his big uprising. He defeated Brock Lesnar, Kofi Mania. There's just certain things that has happened that were just amazing for wrestling. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. Of course, they had that match at Wrestle Kingdom, but they have that match also at WrestleMania, and I think that for them to do that for both companies, and for it to be so momentous, it was just awesome. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But speaking of SmackDown, because I think SmackDown is doing a wonderful job, I'm gonna tell you why. Okay, so Apollo Crews has his Nigerian Prince gimmick, which actually traces back to his days on the indie scene. I think it's amazing. I think it's so cool to see him be a heel without Titus O'Neil, without the Titus Worldwide brand. I'm excited to see whether or not Paul Heyman enjoys him as a mouthpiece. I really hope so. I really hope Paul Heyman kind of builds up that dangerous alliance type of faction with Roman Reigns being the tribal chief or whatever. I don't know exactly where they're going to go with it, but so far I'm very pleased with that. And I think it's only going to get better as time goes on. Similar to Sami Zayn's character, even though he teamed up with another heel and being Baron Corbin, Baron Corbin, kind of like spazzed out on the documentary crew. He doesn't really like Sami Zayn. Nobody likes Sami Zayn. So the WWE is doing a great job expanding on these different heel characters. I really love it. Another thing I love is the fact that the eventual match that we were expecting to see, which was going to be Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks, is actually going to happen. Bianca Belair did choose Sasha Banks as her opponent for WrestleMania after winning the Women's Royal Rumble, which I just think the Women's Royal Rumble is long overdue. I absolutely love it. I know some people may not as much, but I absolutely love it. And I'm glad that Bianca Belair finally won. I felt like she should have won last year, but they went with Charlotte instead. They did the whole NXT situation, and I felt like that was a complete failure. The only person who won in that situation was Io Shirai, which I'm very happy for her because she's been the champion for super long now. So long, I can't even remember. Definitely probably closing in on 200 something days. If it hasn't already surpassed that. So you have Bianca Belair who wins now, and she's actually going to wrestle a champion from one of the two top brands in WWE. Now you have also the Reginald factor. Is he still managing Carmella? Is he done with Carmella completely? And if he's done with Carmella, whose side is he really on? Is he on Bianca's side? Is he setting up Sasha Banks to get back at her? Or is Sasha Banks going to turn heel? There's so many different dynamics, and to me, that's what makes this particular feud work. I mean, it's going to be amazing. You got two athletic females, two of the best females wrestling, against each other, and they're at the top of their games right now. I did hear some backlash from Sasha Banks being number one in Sports Illustrated, number one superstars. And I think that people, I don't know, some people were angry about it, some people didn't agree. As far as I'm concerned, I'm okay with it because I think she made a really triumphant return since she went on that little break, that little hiatus where she did ask for her release from the WWE. Of course, she admitted to that during the Stone Cold podcast, after the Elimination Chamber, that she did ask for her release. She was burnt out and she did need a break. When she did make her return, ever since, she's kind of been main event, top of the scene. So, with that being said, it doesn't bother me because I think that if you really look back over on it, how Charlotte had to take a break, Nia Jax was injuring people, Becky Lynch, of course, she just had a baby, she's being a mom. You can't hold that against her, but I think that it was that happened at the perfect time because the gimmick of the man got a little stale, and it's like, okay, it was red hot, just it was just amazing at one point, but then it got stale. So who had to pick up that ball? Sasha Banks and Bayley, and they did an amazing job at that. I still love Bayley's work. I think she's an amazing heel. I wish she kind of would have did this a little bit earlier, but then again, I love it because she went to from the fun-loving, hugging, almost airhead type character of Bayley to this conniving, too smart for her own good character in this darker side of Bayley, and I absolutely love it. But we're gonna get back to the situation at hand: Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, and you have the climax really of Sasha Banks and Bayley's match, which I really wish there was a little bit more to that. I wish they would have stretched that match out to WrestleMania. And I wouldn't mind seeing a triple threat match due to the fact that Bianca Belair was just recently rivaling against Bayley. They had a rivalry together. And I thought that's what they were going to do. I thought it was going to be a triple threat match. I don't want to see a fatal four-way match with Carmella being inserted. But I was going to settle for the triple threat match because I said, wow, that would still be amazing. I mean, that'd be really cool. If they did it the right way with Reginald, where he has this kayfabe crush on Sasha Banks, and it's like legitimate. Like, he's not trying to trick her for Carmella, but he's still obligated to be Carmella's manager, contractually. That would be cool. I would like that. If that was a triple threat, that's okay, because then Bianca can still pin Carmella, come out on top. She gets her women's championship that she deserves, that she's well overdue for. And now Sasha Banks does a good pin. She still looks strong. Carmella takes the fall, but now Carmella, because she's a heel character, that works out perfectly for her. Now she can whine and cry about that. Now the whole Reginald situation, now her and Sasha Banks pick up their rivalry, and I think you got Bianca Belair. She can go back and rival with Bayley, which I think is a smart thing to do. Or does WWE pull a curve, and now you have the man Becky Lynch comes back and she returns back on SmackDown, right? She's like, screw the Raw belt, yeah, Asuka got it, blah blah blah. Her and Charlotte fight over it. Who cares? I want this SmackDown belt now because this is what I want. Now you have that dynamic. If she comes back, of course, her husband or fiance Seth Rollins is fighting on SmackDown. He wrestles for SmackDown, the brand. So it's like, man, it's so many different avenues and that you can go down. It's like, I don't know. It's just so amazing to think about the different situations that can come from this one match, and what they can actually add to this match before it happens. So, when people say SmackDown is not good, I'm like, man, they got three of the biggest storylines in wrestling right now. I think, well, really four. I'm gonna say four. And I'm gonna tell you why. Of course, we already talked about Apollo Crews. I think he's gonna eventually challenge Big E for the Intercontinental title again. Of course, we have the Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, and the original factor. Then we have, of course, Edge versus the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, which, I mean, I don't care what nobody says. Tribal Chief Roman Reigns is the best right now. even more so, and I know this some people are gonna be pissed off that I say this, even more so than what's going on in AEW right now. I think when the Bullet Club shows up, then we're gonna have some buzz. We have something else to talk about. Or if the Impact versus AEW war does start, then we're gonna have some buzz. But right until then, even though AEW is doing some amazing things, and I am gonna touch on some of that today, I just feel like right now the Roman Reigns Tribal Chief gimmick is really cool. It's really awesome. I think it's a little OP. I do think that they could have gave Kevin Owens a title, a short title run, even if it was like for a month or two, and then took put the title back on Roman Reigns, made him look even that much stronger and dominant. Where he said, "Hey, you guys are gonna stay in the back. I'm gonna get this belt on my own," and you know, was really did a complete heel destruction and destroy Kevin Owens. Now Kevin Owens wins because he gets the sympathy from the fans, and then Roman Reigns will come out on top. But that's not what they did. So okay, we're gonna take what we have. Where we have Edge from the previous generation, a guy that we thought would never wrestle again because of his injuries, and now he's gonna face the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns. It's just to me that gimmick is just has money written all over it. Has dream match written all over it, spear versus spear, man bun versus man bun. That's I'm just kidding, guys. But yeah, you have this match now where you have a decorated former champion who, man, I mean Edge is like I mean seriously, and I know people don't want to hear this. People may get a little bit ticked off that I say this, but when you look at the overall credentials of Edge, Edge is like the GOAT. I mean, you gotta give him some serious consideration as the GOAT. Like, serious. Look at his body of work. Look at the number of championships that he's won. Look at his reigns as champion. You gotta give him consideration as a GOAT. So, to me, that rivalry is massive. And now, you also throw the Daniel Bryan factor into it. Where he doesn't, it seems like he doesn't like Daniel Bryan. He doesn't want to team up with him. Roman Reigns also doesn't like Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's kind of like the afterthought. Do we see this Daniel Bryan underdog story come back again before his career ends? It's just a lot going on with that. So that's phenomenal. And then last but not least, you have Otis and Gable. Otis now being a heel and Chad Gable being his partner. Versus the Mysterios, but also, okay, so there's this secret Easter egg where the Miz cashed the Money in the Bank, right? But Otis took the contract and had it in his lunchbox the whole time. Now, I don't know if the WWE is going to play off of that. And you have Otis comes in, like, let's say Edge wins. Otis comes in and cashes it in and beats Edge or something really crazy. Like, just blows people's brains. I don't know what they do, but man, if the WWE is smart, if the WWE has any smarts or any type of outlook on the wrestling landscape right now, you gotta play into that factor where you go, hey, the contract was never in there. Now it's like, well, is The Miz the real champion? Is he the real champion? And then you have a situation where you kind of almost, if you let him cash that in, Edge is pissed. He wants his title shot. But then you go, now you could almost do a champion versus champion match. If somehow The Miz does win over Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, somehow, you can set up The Miz versus Otis match. Champion versus champion, and a heel Otis, a destructive Otis, a heel with Chad Gable in his corner. Guys, I'm not saying he's gonna be a great champion. All this, I'm not gonna say no nonsense. But it's just very interesting all the different possibilities that could happen. Okay, let's say he tries to cash in and he fails. Now he's super pissed. Now he goes on a rampage and starts destroying The Miz and everybody on both brands or something crazy. You just never know. There's just so many. So many fun things that the WWE can do with this situation with SmackDown. It's just I don't understand why people can't see that it's one of the best shows in wrestling right now. NXT has revitalized themselves in a major way. We will talk about that on my next podcast. I will break that down and just really pick it apart. I think it's going to be some amazing matches coming soon. Oh man, I don't really know how this thing is going to go, but I'm just super excited for it. But yeah, SmackDown is doing massive work. Massive, massive work. And I think they're trying to build. There's some stars that are actually trying to build up right now. There's I don't know when Jimmy Uso is coming back. I don't know what they're saving him for. But there's just so much going on right now. There's so many question marks. I think if the WWE is smart, they keep doing what they're doing. They have surprise matches. They have surprise wins. The Miz winning at the Elimination Chamber was amazing. Oh man, Bobby Lashley challenging him, and they're gonna fight this Monday. That's amazing. It's just so much going on. Raw is actually a very entertaining show to watch right now. And going into WrestleMania, that's perfect for the WWE. Perfect, of course. I think they're just doing terrible by Asuka, but we're not gonna talk about that right now. I will touch up on that in another episode. How they're really dropping the ball with Asuka, and how I do see her leaving eventually. But we'll talk about that at a different time. Right now, let's talk about wrestling news as a whole. One of the biggest pieces of wrestling news is, of course, the big show is AEW. Paul White is AEW. By the time you guys listen to this, you guys probably already heard that. You already know that. But, wow. So, for you guys who don't know why, I'll explain it to you. Apparently, the Big Show did want an extension with the WWE. They could not come to terms financially what he was worth. So we have an older wrestler who's kind of been like a gatekeeper for you. He could have had some more dominant years. If he said, hey guys, I really want a championship, I really want this and a third, I think he could have worked it. He could have kind of pulled, you know, the legend card or the veteran card and kind of got himself inserted into the mix. But it might have hurt some of the pushes that some of the younger guys got. So the fact that he's kind of been jobbing to these guys for the last few years, right? And then, you know, it's like, well, we don't know your worth. Well, I think that's a direct slap in the face. Or we don't think that you're worth what you think that you're worth. Okay, and then on top of it, believe it or not, guys, the straw that brought the camel's back was the fact that Randy Orton did the kind of legend killer thing again and disrespected his gimmick. The Big Show and all that he had accomplished, the fact that he disrespected it, he felt like, I guess he felt as though maybe his gimmick couldn't overcome that. I'm not really sure, but apparently that's the reason behind him signing with AEW. So that opens up the door for him to be the legendary big man. And on top of that, that allows the WWE to kind of do what they do best. The WWE if somebody else does something, they kind of like to do it bigger and better. So you have the whole Randy Orton situation. Right now, once he finishes up with The Fiend, he's not going to have like a direct wrestler or superstar to kind of rival against. So it makes perfect sense for the WWE to insert Mark Henry into that slot. You bring back a veteran, you get the sympathy of the fans with that, but also And you get that kind of return match from a Hall of Famer, which is really cool. But then on top of that, you also get that kind of a revenge match where it's like, okay, now I'm not injured, now I'm not hurt, now you can't punk me. And who knows? Does he put Randy Orton over? Most likely. But maybe they turn it into a trilogy where he wins, then Randy wins. Then, of course, I would say Randy eventually would win out that trilogy and Mark Henry goes back into retirement. I don't think he has any desire to make a full-time comeback, but who knows? It's seemingly that the Big Show is going to make a full-time comeback as Paul White, so I'm not 100% sure if that's going to persuade Mark Henry to come back or not. But Mark Henry has always been a phenomenal wrestler. That can't be denied. So him making a comeback in any form, I'm 100% behind it. Another topic that has AEW in the headlines is Zelina Vega's free agency. Of course, the WWE fired Zelina Vega for the simple fact that she would not hand over her Twitch and her third-party platforms over to the WWE, which that's something that, of course, I think I talked to you guys about that before. I think it's absolutely this stupid lunacy that the WWE is trying to take over people's third-party platforms. This is ridiculous. That's like me, if let's just say the WWE was like, hey, we heard your podcast, we really like it, we want you to, join us, but the Twitch that you stream your games on, all this other stuff you do, we have to have in on that. It's like, dude, that has nothing to do with what you want me for. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's weird because it's like they're signing wrestlers to contracts to be wrestlers. But then they're like, but you gotta sign this stuff over too. And I'm like, man, that seems really illegal. I don't know. But Zelina Vega stood up for herself. I'm very proud of her for doing so. I feel as though with her having the courage to do that, especially with her being in a situation where she was on her way to getting a big push from the WWE, I believe that she chose her dignity and she chose her freedom, and that's going to help some WWE stars do the same thing. Now, Tony Khan has said he's very much interested in her. He did the smartest thing possible, which he said, oh, I'm not sure when her 90-day no-compete clause is up, but once I find out that it's up and da-da-da-da, we'll begin to talk to her. But we already know that she has friends in the wrestling business. Her husband's Aleister Black, the wrestler Aleister Black. He has friends in the wrestling business. That's already been in the works for her to come to AEW. Whether they have her come in and join Impact and gets bought into the AEW after the big war, who knows? Or whether she comes straight to AEW, which I think she will. Either way, she'll be a great addition to AEW's women roster. She's really good in the ring. She's great on the mic. She's great as a manager. I don't know how many years Aleister Black has on his contract, but if his contract runs out, we already know that he's definitely most likely going to jump ship and go with his wife to AEW. And something that's really cool, I actually follow her on Instagram. I follow both of them on Instagram. She's been wearing a shirt that says Black Mass, but there's no A. It's just an X. Black's on top and Mass is at the bottom, and it's an X in between. And I think that would be a really cool character for Aleister Black to join AEW as Black Mass. And he can have his finisher be whatever he wants to call it. You know what I mean? But I'm not sure what's the whole deal with all that. But if he's able to trademark Black Mass, or she's able to trademark it, and not the WWE, somehow, I mean, I don't know. I was assume that the name Black Mass is under trademark because it's his finisher move. But I don't know how that works out. But man, if they were able to pull that off, that would be a major coup for them and a major coup for AEW. And I just think that, to me, that is just, that's a no-brainer for business. I think this Tony Khan, he's really been doing a really good job with building himself up as an on-air character with AEW. I feel like the fans like Tony Khan. I know for one, I enjoy Tony Khan. I like him because he kind of comes off as that wrestling enthusiast. He's kind of like a wrestling nerd, but he's also a wrestling nerd that's a billionaire. So, I just, it's just like you can identify with him at the same time, but in another light, you're looking at him and going, wow, look at all the stuff he's doing to revolutionize wrestling. You know, he brought FTR in, he brought Jon Moxley in. People who were upset with their contracts, upset with their situations in the companies that they were in. And he took those guys and turned them into champions. And he bought back their he bought back validation to their names, credibility to their wrestling careers. So I think that when you look at it, Tony Khan just gets he's just been so momentous with his building the building AEW, but also rebuilding people's careers. Of course, rest in peace to John Huber, better known as Brody Lee. But before Brody Lee passed away, his wrestling career had significantly went changed for the better by going to AEW. And of course, you know, there's only bigger and better things ahead. So, you know, that's why I said, you know, the whole situation with Zelina Vega. I mean, this could be massive. This could just have so much on the line as far as, you know, fanfare. And there's a group of people, there's a group of fans out here who are very much anti-WWE. So with that, of course, that like I said earlier with the Wrestling Observer, there's a group of fans that obviously support the Wrestling Observer, and there's obviously a group of fans that you know, they support the Wrestling Observer and they support that kind of anti-WWE news. So if Zelina Vega is signed, I mean, man, that's just really massive. I know for some people they go, "Oh, well, it's just Zelina Vega," but I mean, she's an amazing talent, and what it means for the ratings war, because let's just be honest, guys. AEW is no longer competing against NXT. That war has been long won. It's no longer a competition. At this point, AEW is competing against WWE. That's just the God's honest truth. Impact Wrestling and AEW going to war is only going to further the ratings for both sides. I think at some point you will see that AEW will take over Impact Wrestling completely. In my opinion, I think that Tony Khan has already bought Impact Wrestling, and he's just doing it the smartest way possible, unlike what the WWE did when they bought WCW. And instead of drawing it out and getting the maximum amount of money and building up that product, I think TNT was kind of already pissed off. But they also didn't want to do business with McMahon because McMahon was the one that put them where they were at, in a sense, in a competitive sense. So with that being said, now you have this AEW Impact Wrestling New Japan war that's kind of brewing. And in my mind, the way I see it is I would see Kenny Omega defecting over and becoming the Impact World Champion. If somehow Jon Moxley is able to beat him, then he defects over. He calls the Impact Wrestling Champion the the real World Championship. And you have this war that starts. And I believe that you're gonna see wrestlers from New Japan come over there and they're gonna compete in Impact Wrestling. I believe at some point Kenny Omega is gonna primarily compete in Impact Wrestling. And it's gonna build up to this climax, and then you have the Bullet Club's gonna interfere. And I don't know what side they're going to be on, or if they're going to come in just on behalf of New Japan Pro Wrestling and just destroy. Who knows? But it's going to be amazing. It's going to be one of the best things that we've seen in wrestling in the last 50, 60 years. It's going to be probably the best thing you've seen in wrestling since the Attitude Era. The Ruthless Aggression Era, of course, was really amazing. Not to take away from that. But I really do believe that is going to be something that the wrestling world, I don't think they're ready for it yet, but when it happens, as it's happening, it's going to be one of the first time, probably in the last 20 years, that wrestling is going to be legitimately cool again. So, that's just one thing I'm looking forward to. But speaking on AEW, some of the things that's been happening. I'm not going to talk a lot about everything that's been going on in AEW, but just a couple of kind of key points. It's kind of seeming like when Hangman Adam Page originally rejected the Dark Order's offer to take over or to join, that was it. But now it's starting to seem like they kind of are buddy buddy. They keep kind of rescuing him. On the last episode of AEW Dynamite, at the very end, number five was thrown to through a table, and you can see Kenny Omega is down there with John Silver and Reynolds, and they're checking on him. So to me, I think at some point Kenny Omega, I'm sorry, not Kenny Omega, Hangman Adam Page actually joins the Dark Order. You know, you have a faction versus faction match. So then he goes to go. So now you guys are like, okay, so who's the other faction? So I think Matt Hardy starts building his own faction up, which I think is really cool. With him being a legendary tag team wrestler who we know is definitely going to go in the Hall of Fame, maybe even twice, because of what he was able to do by rejuvenating Impact Wrestling. And he did it all by himself. I mean, he created everything. He did it all by himself. So, the fact that he was able to do that and take a dying wrestling company and bring them back to life and make that must-see TV with their broken Matt Hardy gimmick. I mean, that alone, I mean, to me, aside from anything else that he's ever done in his wrestling career, that alone, to in my opinion, puts him in the Hall of Fame by himself. I mean, I just felt like that was amazing to for him to be able to take a company who had suffered so many massive losses. All their top stars left and became bigger stars in bigger companies. So it kind of showed how they mismanaged their company. It showed how they mismanaged it and how he instead of him leaving, because I'm pretty sure he could have left and became a tag team star somewhere. Even in the WWE, or we could have took the broken gimmick to the WWE, but because of the way the WWE is manufactured and they're micromanaged, I don't believe the broken gimmick could have been as free as it was anywhere else but Impact Wrestling, unless AEW had been around and he was able to do it in AEW, which I think it would have been even better there, but that's just an opinion at the end of the day. But you have a guy like Matt Hardy, who is most likely going to be a two-time Hall of Famer because of the fact that he had the broken gimmick and he was part of the legendary Hardy Boys tag team with his brother, which they've won multiple tag teams of championships, of course, over the last 20 years or so. And they've been in WWE probably longer than that because I believe they were 16 and 18 when they joined the WWE. Jeff Hardy lied about his age, apparently. And so they have been in WWE for a long, long time. With all those things being considered, Private Party's rise of popularity, and Helico and Jack Evans apparently being part of his new faction. I mean, I'm not too fond of having two tag teams in a faction. That's the reason why I think the Inner Circle was kind of goofy. It was really cool in the beginning, and I thought it got a little goofy when they had Santino and Ortiz as a secondary tag team, and they're one of the best tag teams in the entire world, and what they represent, culturally, being Puerto Rican men from New York City, well, from Puerto Rico, but living in New York City. I just believe that, and their style of wrestling, and how massive the Puerto Rican wrestling scene has been over the last 50, 60 years, with Carlos Colon. I just believe that there's so much to play off of with that. And with them being, like I said, a top tag team in Impact Wrestling for a long time, their contracts ended there. They signed with AEW. I just thought that was a little silly. So that's why I'm not huge on the whole Jack Evans and Helico joining Matt Hardy situation. But there's a lot of free agents in wrestling right now. There's a lot of things that can go on. So. Even with Redbeard still being available, I know he did a match or two on AEW, but I don't think he's actually signed with them. But you have so many people that are available. There's a lot of things that he can do with that kind of that storyline, and I get it. He needs numbers on his side because the Dark Order is a big faction. I mean, there's probably. I mean, they almost remind me of the NWO at some point when they started getting like the 10, 15 members. You're like, whoa, that's a lot of people. And then unfortunately, of course, they had way too many members where it ended up killing an entire wrestling company because the faction became, unbelievably large and things got out of control. Would that happen with the Dark Order? Definitely not. I mean, I don't think they're going to join, have too many more members join. But I feel like all the members who have joined have benefited from joining, number one. And then number two, when you look at it, they all have a role in that group. Colt Cabana joining is huge. I just thought that was so cool that he joined. He actually, all went all the way in with that team. And I was like, man, that's so cool. Because I didn't think they were going to do it. I thought he was going to be like a good guy and fight them back or whatever. And he just joined in with them. I'm like, man, that's so dope. And like I said, I hope they do the same thing with Hangman Adam Page. Like I said, I hope they also give Matt Hardy a couple guys that he can manage or be their agent and fight against. The Dark Order with so that it's even, and I think that's just a really cool rivalry. I think it's just a good storyline. Of course, for you guys who are not wrestling historians like myself, Hangman Adam Page actually started his wrestling career under Matt Hardy. They're both from North Carolina, so I don't want to say that they're necessarily friends, but Matt Hardy helped Hangman start his career. So, with that being said, there's definitely a tie there, and that's why I guess they want to work together. Hence the reason these factions, happening. So like I said, there's so many different factors that can happen, things that can go on. AEW just right now, to me, AEW and SmackDown have the most interesting situations. NXT has now joined that realm because they've just exploded with chaos over the last two or 3 weeks or so. It's just been insane. I will drop the AEW versus NXT podcast tomorrow and just kind of delve deeply into detail with just kind of talking about what both shows are offering right now, what they're building up to. The Revolution pay-per-view, I think, is going to be amazing. Man, I'm just so excited for this pay-per-view. Very rarely do I say that about wrestling pay-per-views, especially during the pandemic time where it was really difficult in the beginning of 2020. I mean, it was really difficult. And now you're seeing it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. And I do think things are gonna get better with COVID. And I'm really praying on it that it does get better. But, it just seems like I think because of COVID, you're getting some of the best wrestling right now out of every company that you could possibly get. Even New Japan, even Ring of Honor. Even though I haven't really been following closely with them as much as I normally would. Because of the pandemic and they're running smaller shows. You're getting just the very best. One last little snippet I want to tell you guys was that Big Cass, which he's now known as Cass XL, made a big return last night at a wrestling show. I believe it's Laredo Wrestling, if I'm not mistaken. Laredo Pro Wrestling in Lyons, Georgia. He made his return as Hernandez's mystery partner. For those who don't know who Hernandez, I'm talking about Hernandez from LAX. Very popular Impact Wrestling tag team. If you don't know who that is, go YouTube LAX, original LAX, Hernandez from LAX. He also had a character in Lucha Underground. You can YouTube that as well. And if you type in Hernandez Lucha Underground, then you'll know exactly who he is. Pretty sure you guys are very familiar with him. And if you're not, you will be familiar with him once you realize who he is. They face the team of Luke and Perry Hawks. HAWX. I'm assuming they're brothers or either real brothers or kayfabe brothers. But man, I got to see it, and I mean, I'm telling you guys, Big Cass looks absolutely jacked. I mean, he looks amazing. His story is so amazing. I'm not gonna get deep into it right now. I'll just give you guys the basics of it. But he had a really serious problem with alcoholism. He lost his girlfriend, which is Carmella. She's now dating Corey Graves, WWE commentator for SmackDown. But he lost his girlfriend. He lost his career in wrestling. He was released. He put on a bunch of weight. He looked horrible in the ring. And then at some point, he did a wrestling show, and I believe he had a seizure. He had a back backstage. He had a seizure. And it was looking really bad. He ended up coming to a halfway house in Delaware, where I live at, and he was in his halfway house for, man, a while. It got clean. He had one relapse, and after that, he stayed clean the entire time. He just got his body back in great shape. I mean, he looked phenomenal. Even better than he did in the WWE, because he was kind of like skin and bones in the WWE. Kind of looked like a young kid. But when he came out, did a little entrance thing they had, I was like, whoa, that dude looks like a freaking giant. He looks massive. Jacked up. Of course, he's 7 feet tall. You can't teach height. Height is just one of those things that if you put it with athleticism and you add it to pro wrestling, it just creates really a really good character. So I just was really shocked with how well he was able to reshape his body. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but man, he was severely out of shape. Almost made me tear up how badly out of shape he was when he returned to the indie scene a while ago. While he was still battling his alcohol addiction. And it was just rough for me to watch, because I watched his entire NXT career and I was like, wow. I just thought he was the next guy up. I thought that he was that next champion, and unfortunately, it didn't happen for him yet in the WWE. But he's actually wrestling under the Impact banner, so it was actually Impact Plus that he was wrestling underneath, even though it was for a separate wrestling company. So my take on it is that him and Enzo, they will get signed to Impact Wrestling. Hopefully, Enzo acts right, has learned his lesson, has matured, and we can see them be part of this whole AEW Impact Wrestling war that's taking place. And hopefully, these guys can win some tag team gold. I would love it. Man, if they debuted and fought Finn Juice and the Good Brothers and won the tag team titles at a Impact Wrestling pay-per-view, you would hear no complaints out of me. None whatsoever. But with that being said, guys, thank you so much for staying tuned and listening to this very long episode of the podcast. It's been a long time that I've been able to drop a podcast for you guys. I've been kind of just writing and trying to get things together for the podcast. I took some time for myself to kind of get my mind back right and get myself focused on doing really good, high quality podcasts. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for your support. Thank you guys for continuing to listen. There's still people that's tuning in and listening to the top 10 betrayals, which is the bottom five of that. And I will have that top five for you very soon, within the next couple of weeks. I'm actually already writing it, and it'll be done within the next couple of weeks. So thank you guys so much for still tuning in. And I will see you guys tomorrow when I drop AEW versus NXT and we take a deep dive into what is making them successful and who right now has the upper hand. So with that being said, you guys stay classy, and I will see you guys on the flip side.